Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's motivational AM targets, adhere to their boundaries too. I want to thank you for listening. I'm covering a series entitled Boundaries. My aim is to encourage listeners to create, establish, and maintain healthy, God-honoring boundaries as God directs them in wisdom. For those who haven't already, you can listen to and share parts 1-7 of this series as I address the motivational aim, adhere to their boundaries too. I've spent a lot of time on the importance of setting boundaries. Now I want to take a moment to encourage you to stick to the boundaries people set for you. Whether you set a boundary or someone sets a boundary with you, it's important that you adhere to the boundaries. It doesn't matter what that person has going on. It doesn't matter why they set the boundary. It's best to adhere to it. Now, there are some cases where someone is putting themselves in grave danger, and you know full well that the boundaries that they've set are dangerous to them and others. In cases like that, it's best to seek wisdom on how to go about doing what you know you need to do. But there are times when people set healthy boundaries for themselves and it goes against what you're used to. If that happens, adhere to their boundary. The aim is to respect people's boundaries just like you want people to respect yours. I don't believe it's a good practice to set boundaries with other people, and then when someone sets boundaries with you, you want to control their boundaries. It shouldn't work like that. It's all about knowing your place and staying in your lane. And if you don't know your place or your lane, please believe that someone will let you know where you fit in their life. And if you cross any boundary of where a person has placed you in their life, they will let you know in some way, shape, or form. And I want to go over this parable that I found in Luke, the 16th chapter, and the 19th through the 31st verse. And I encourage you to read it on your own, but I'm going to read it to you right now. There was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, was lying at his gate. He longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off, with Lazarus at his side. "Father Abraham," he called out, "have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame." "Son," Abraham said, "remember that during your life you received your good things, just as Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, while you are in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, neither can those from there cross over to us." "Father," he said, "then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have 5 brothers to warn them, so they won't also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." But he told them, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." So you just heard that. And for those who've read it, you've seen it. You saw it. One man who held a higher position in social and economic status made sure to keep his riches to himself. And guess what? That was his prerogative. He could do whatever he wanted to do with his money, with his resources, with his time, and with his wealth. But you'll discover that he knew better. This man saw someone in his life struggling. They didn't have to have the same social economic status, but this man refused to do the bare minimum, which was help him out with some food or refer him to a place where he could go live and get some assistance regarding the sores on his body. He didn't do that. What he did do was show off his wealth. He showed off what he had. He refused to help, although this man, this poor man, was on his front doorstep, at his gate. This poor man wasn't in the street. He wasn't down the street. This poor man was at his address. And the rich man did absolutely nothing for him. And guess what? The rich man didn't have to. He didn't have to. But we don't read about the rich man calling somebody to even come take this man away from his property. We don't read that. And that would have been some help. That would have showed that the rich man didn't want to see this man there. He wanted to get rid of him. No. Based off what I've read, it looks like the rich man wanted to be seen by this poor man. He wanted the poor man to see him whining and dining and living this life of luxury. This wealthy man enforced a boundary with this poor man. The rich man was showing this poor man, I am not helping you. I don't want to talk to you though. You're not on my level. I want you to see what I have. I'm not sharing with you. I'm going to show off my social status. I'm going to show off my clothes. I'm going to show off my food. I'm going to show off my connections. I'm going to show you that I will not include you. I'm going to invite people into my home. They have to pass you up when they pass by the gate to get to my front door. You're going to see people pass you up. You're going to see people in my house eating food as you just sit there. You're going to see this. People are going to walk over you. I'm going to show you that I'm not including you. I'm going to do this in your face. Because, you know, when I do this, I get a kick out of you, like, begging me for stuff. I feel so important when you look at me and you want what I have. I will walk over you and leave you stranded as you smell the food my chefs are preparing. I'll even eat with the windows open so you can see me and just imagine that you had the food that I had. Some of you have been delivered from this way of thinking, and some listeners could live just like the rich man lives. And then some of you are going through the very thing the poor man experienced. You are longing for an opportunity. You're longing for a chance. You see someone who is doing better than you. They appear to be accessible, but when you approach them, they lock the gate on you. They enforced a boundary. They made you feel as if you were welcome, and they made you feel that you could come to them at any time and that they had your best interest in mind because they had access to these resources. But when you went to go examine these opportunities that they provided or shared with you, they enforced a boundary. They put a gate up. And when you went to this gate, you saw the gate had openings in it where you could peer through the gate and see what's going on the other side. And when you looked on the other side, you saw all types of opportunities happening and people just throwing opportunities away, making sure that they're going to throw it away then give it to you. You saw the opportunities, you saw the promises, you saw the resources just laying around, and people are just flaunting them in your face. They want you to see them. They want you to see them ignoring you. They want you to see them walking over you. They want you to see them choosing other people instead of you. They want you to see what they have on, how they're dressed, who they're with, and they just get this gain. They are energized. When they see your eyes looking at what they have going on, they just feel like they're on top, like they've really won because they're interpreting you looking at them as if you're jealous of them. Their mind is blown. They've really hit the jackpot. They've done it again because they see that you're going through a storm and they're not helping you. They're just so happy that you're covered in pain. You're covered in hurt. You're covered in limited resources. Boy, you're covered in limitations and you're at their gate, or you were at their gate. Some of you can relate with this. Some of you have been excluded, stepped over, walked over at your job, in your family, with your quote-unquote friends. They just feel so good inside. They feel giddy. They're chipper when they find out or they think that you're suffering. And they just keep doing all kinds of stuff to bring you down, hoping to cover you in shame, cover you in embarrassment, cover you in pain. And they did all of this while you were at their gate, in their company. They were so mean, hateful, spiteful, and they did some doggish things to you. But one day, the tables turn. Because remember, when that was going on, they enforced a boundary. All that pain, all that hurt, all those preconceived thoughts on what they wanted to implement in order to be doggish to you, those were all enforced boundaries on their part. That was a boundary. But one day the tables turn. In the parable, both men die because everybody has their day. Now, the rich man in the parable, he opened his eyes and he was in hell. The poor man opened his eyes and he was in heaven with Abraham. The wealthy man calls out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this flame." That statement from the rich man was audacious, but we discovered that the rich man knew how he was supposed to treat the poor because of what he said. He addressed Abraham as father. When he addressed him as father, he addressed his position. He addressed Abraham's position in his life. I'm assuming that although this man was wealthy, he was not raised. He was not raised in a household that did not believe in God. He was apparently raised in a household or an atmosphere where people knew who God was. They knew about God. They believed in God's promises. They knew and they shared the goodness of God and what God did for their ancestor, Abraham. For the wealthy man to know exactly who Abraham was and to address him as father, he knew better. Then for the rich man to ask the poor man, Lazarus, to give him water was outrageous. It was outrageous because the rich man enforced a boundary with the poor man. Now, when he was going through torture, or he's feeling some of the same pain that the poor man felt at his gate, now the rich man, he wants the poor man to cross boundaries for him because he doesn't like the way it feels. He needs a reprieve. It doesn't work like that. The wealthy man enforced a boundary that everyone adhered to. He said it, and people followed his boundary, although he didn't like it. And there was nothing he could do about it. Abraham told the rich man's son, that's an indicator right there on how Abraham addressed him, that he wasn't raised to do what he was doing when he lived that way. But he says, "Son, remember during your life you received good things, just as Lazarus, the poor man, received bad things. He went through some doggish experiences in your face. But son, now he's comforted here while you are in agony. Besides, son, there is a great chasm that has been fixed between us and you. There is a boundary that we have to adhere to so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot. Neither can those from there cross over to us." You see, when boundaries are placed, it's best to adhere to them, even if people are doing you wrong and they enforce the boundary with you. Adhere to it. They don't know when all of that self-glory will crash down, but that has nothing to do with you. You just adhere to that boundary. If somebody enforced a boundary to exclude you, The boundary will reveal that person's nature, that person's motive. Similar to what happened with the rich man and the poor man. We read that the rich man knew what he was doing. He knew it wasn't right. But he had no idea that the boundaries he enforced to shame someone and gloat came with serious consequences that he had to live by. That's why when you read, you will see the rich man asks Abraham, "Father, I beg you to send the poor man to my daddy's house because I have 5 brothers. Can he go warn them so they won't end up like me?" But Abraham tells him, "Son, they have people in their life that they have access to. They have access to God's word just like you did. They need to listen to the word of God and choose what God's word says. They need to make the right decision. You could have made the right decision. Did you not think the consequences to your actions were real? Did you not think that when you set boundaries to isolate people in a hurtful manner, that people will adhere to those boundaries that you set up? You thought you were isolating them, but in reality, you were isolating yourself. Son, they need to listen to people God placed in their life and take heed to what those prophets are telling them." Then the rich man says, "No, but if someone from the dead goes to them, then they will repent." And then Abraham lets the rich man know, "Son, if they don't listen to the word of God and the prophets like Moses, who are showing them signs, miracles, and wonders while they are alive, and they choose to enforce a boundary to not believe, then they most definitely won't listen to someone who has died, and they won't be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." Abraham was letting him know, "Son, even if you go to your daddy's house and go tell your brothers to act right and do what God says, they will not be persuaded, son. Son, if they want to enforce a boundary to not listen to God, that's on them. People can set boundaries with you. If they do, don't take offense. But you can also set boundaries with them too. And they shouldn't take offense. It goes both ways. Look at the rich man. He couldn't live without food. He couldn't live in the heat. So he reaches out to the person he knows who went through what he went through, hoping to gain some sympathy, some empathy, some care and concern. But the rich man set the boundary. And now the poor man has to adhere to what he set up. This scenario lets you know that the rich man didn't enforce the boundary for his own health and safety. He did this in a negative manner, thinking that it would be one-sided. He thought he'd be on top forever. Not only in this life or his life, but forever. And he got a revelation, didn't he? Woke up in hell. When people set boundaries, adhere to them, you'll be surprised when you actually adhere to the boundaries people enforce with you, all the revelations you'll receive. One revelation could be that individuals who set these type of boundaries with you, they set them with everyone. That's just a practice that they implement for self-care or self-control. Another revelation you might receive is that the people who enforce boundaries with you, they're setting these boundaries up because you are the problem. And by adhering to that, you could make the necessary adjustments to examine your ways and change some things. Another revelation that you could receive when somebody enforces a boundary with you, it could be that the person placed the boundary on you because you are favored. They're jealous. They put a boundary because you're favored, you're talented, you're anointed, you're blessed, and you have all of these qualities that shine and they can't stand you. When you walk in a room, whether it's a physical room or a virtual room, people are attracted to your personality. They want to hear what you have to say. And in their mind, the person who enforced this boundary with you, that takes away from them. So they enforce a boundary so people won't see you, they'll just see them. If you are in a situation like that, you adhere to those people's boundaries. Stick to it. Stick to their boundary, because pretty soon, if you keep doing what you need to do and you keep accelerating, you keep excelling, you keep doing what God commanded you to do and he's blessing you, then they'll want to move the boundary marker. They'll want you to come over. Hey, come over here. No. Keep that boundary up, because they locked the gate on you. So they thought they really locked the gate on themselves. God will bless you with wisdom and discernment on the intent and the true nature of someone creating a boundary with you. When he grants you the revelation, the wisdom, the discernment, and the knowledge, adhere to it and move accordingly. And a passage of scripture I would like to leave with you or review with you is Luke, the 16th chapter and the 25th through the 26th verse. And this is what it says. Son, Abraham said, remember that during your life you received your good things, but now he is comforted here while you were in agony. Besides all this, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, neither can those from there cross over to us. And I selected that scripture to share with you to reiterate the importance of adhering to boundaries. Don't focus on why someone is setting a boundary with you, why they're treating you so wrong. They might be boxing you out and isolating you, but in reality, they are really practicing self-isolation and putting their own self in a box. Allow God to guide you as you adhere to boundaries with him and the boundaries of others, all while you enforce the boundaries he told you to enforce. Okay? Thank you for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download some Bible study content that I have on the site. You can also order some inspirational t-shirts on my website. Feel free to check me out on the YouVersion Bible app and on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Peace and God bless.